Okay, we're ready.
Okay, I've called today's meeting of the audit committee to order. It is
4:20.
I apologize for the delay. Our previous meeting ran a little bit over. Can you please take attendance?
Bartels.
Here.
Ronk is absent. Criswell.
Here.
Gaveras. Lopez.
Here.
And Deputy Comptroller DeMarco is here on behalf of Comptroller Gallagher, and Deputy County Executive Chris Kelly is here on behalf of County Executive Metzger.
You all are free to join us at the table if you want. I mean, if you're comfortable there, fine, but
that would be easier.
I must have my OCD a little bit there, Chair. I've sat there for 2 years now.
You got your computers in your laps.
Okay.
All right, I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the May 9th meeting. Hopefully everyone... Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So, all right, so we are here to discuss the 2022 external audit of the annual financial statements with O'Connor Davies. We have Melissa Zott and Chris Kopp with us today, and I'm going to turn it over to you all in a moment to give us an update, and I'm thank Finance for being here as well to just get this update. I'll let you take over.
So go ahead and we only made 10 copies. So this is the summary of the status of the audit. Here.
Yes. There's the big difference. Yeah.
And then I also provided moving past that. So what we've done for you today is just prepared a summarized status of where we are that covers the various sections of the audit areas for the county's financial statement audit. So also at the bottom, we have a timeline that with the milestones that we would like to complete. It is a tight timeline, so if we do miss any of them or delay, we'll have to try to catch up in the meantime. So starting with the single audit, we do have 50% of it completed. We have tested two programs, TANF and SNAP. We did work with the commissioner's office in regards to the CIFA, so I believe that they are going to be going to the department heads to confirm the CFD numbers so we can identify if there's any additional programs that need to be tested. The preliminary audit, so the rest of this is just the county, the preliminary accrued liabilities, encumbrances. We essentially received documentation from the county in August. Obviously, we started our audit right when the commissioner got hired, so there was a little bit of a delay. They've been working really hard at getting us the information that we need, but we were only here for, we were scheduled for 3 weeks. We ended up coming for two because of the time frame to let them get caught up. So we did end up receiving a lot of the documents in August, so now it's trying to find the team to bring them together to work on it like at nights and weekends. So that's what we're trying to do to accomplish this. So preliminary, which is the internal control stuff, bids, claims walkthroughs, we're at 90%, so we just really have the bids to go through. Accrued liabilities, that's like your accrued payroll, we're about 40%. We did receive the support, so it's just a matter of us going through it. Encumbrances are your purchase orders. We did receive some of the support. We had follow-up questions, which we received, so we have to go through those as well. The general fund is currently at 40%. We do have some open items in regards to some of the analytics. We do also have an item that came up in regards to the Department of Social Services receivable. We had spoken with, I believe it's the Director of Finance at the Department of Social Services, and requested a reconciliation of the receivables for the balance at year end. and it looks like that there hasn't been a reconciliation of the receivables. And based on her preliminary analysis, which we will be testing by getting the support for, it looks like that there will be a potential write-off of the receivables for those. So I do have a detail of this. Let me see. I can provide. I tried to color code it to make it a little bit easier.
This is provided by Beck.
Yes.
Can I have another
This reconciliation one? Came from your department. Nope, I got one for you. Yeah.
So, I didn't know how many copies. I want to make sure.
Sorry.
So, while we're talking about this, can you talk to us about your concerns around that?
Sure. And I know Chris can jump in. He has a lot of knowledge on the DSS program. But the RF and RF2As that are submitted to the state to be reimbursed are submitted to the state, and that takes a long time, I think 18 months, right? Approximately?
It's more like 9 with some laggards for 18 mm-hmm. months.
And so once the state reviews all of the submissions, they most of the time will not pay or reimburse 100% of it. So they will disqualify a portion of it. When the state pays the county, they'll provide a settlement letter, I believe that's what it's called, and that will show exactly how much should be applied to which program and how much is being written off. So based on the fact that we spoke with them to substantiate the dollar amount of the receivables and the fact that there hadn't been a reconciliation performed, we want to make sure that the receivable balance at year end is accurate.
And does it seem, sorry, I'm going to just follow up. Does sure. it seem like it's a reasonable amount that we are receiving and that we're...
I don't think that's the point.
Okay.
The point is that you're... I don't have the sheet in front of me.
Give them all away.
So what happens is that your records indicated roughly 28.7 million mm-hmm. was still due from the state and federal government
right.
for your various social service programs. So what we do is we ask for those claims because every program has an administrative cap on it mm-hmm. where the feds won't reimburse you for some admin costs once you hit this certain level, until they reconcile everybody in the state's claims and there's excess money, then they reimburse you part of that cap. So when we asked the department for the details, they sent us an email, which is the result of that reconciliation. And if you look at the line that says A minus C, what they're saying is that you have a potential write-off here of almost $12 million of receivables that have been booked in prior years that aren't collectible. So that's what we're trying to get to the bottom of.
If I may.
For how many years are we going back to write off these receivables? For how many years?
We don't know. This is what's on your general ledger.
Okay, so you're saying, that in so for instance, last year there was no reconciliation performed and no adjustment being.
We weren't your auditors last year, but what the department told us was that nobody has asked for a reconciliation by claim. When we asked for a reconciliation by claim, we immediately got this memo that basically said, well, there's $27 million on the books, but 12 of it's no good. So that $12 million, because it's prior years, is basically coming directly out of your fund balance.
It's a loss.
Right. So where you've recorded this as revenue in previous years, you're now going to take a one-time hit. Now, we're auditors. So we asked the questions, the department has now provided this. We really need the department, either the DSS or finance, to kind of try to piece these claims together. And again, to use an example, the way social services works, you file a claim every month for your monthly expenditures. 2 months prior to that, you get an advance payment because the state knows you're advancing the money. So you have an advance, you claim the money, you have a balance due, the state gets your claim, they reconcile it, and then they start making payments based on the programs. And at the end, you should be able to adjust your claim based on your payments and their settlement letter. We need to know what revenue codes need to be adjusted, whether it's state or federal, because the claims, you know, RF2 is an F, RF2 is state. We need to know whether it's federal aid, state aid, and which programs need those adjustments. We can't do that based on a $12 million number. Somebody's got to actually dive in and look at these claims and try to identify that $12 million.
Yes.
So this is something that should be happening annually.
Should be happening monthly.
Monthly? Mm-hmm.
When you, okay. Because again, if you're running a receivable, you run a business, you bill somebody, you'd like to know if you got paid.
Got it.
And again, because it comes in piecemeal, it makes it a little more difficult to track. But they do indicate RF2 January, RF2 February, RF2 March. So the state and the feds give you some clue. So you'll be pretty close if you do it on a routine basis.
My understanding and just preliminary conversations with the department and some internal staff is that this happened at least up until 2019 where it was being done. I don't know beyond that.
Can I ask then, do you know... In your conversations with the department and the staff, do you have any indication of why it would have stopped happening in 2019?
Turnover.
Or COVID.
I think it was a little bit of both, but my understanding is it was the person performing the action was no longer with the county, and then it dropped off.
And again, just to clarify, you weren't our auditors, but you're... speaking to the department, you are stating that the department states that no one had asked them for this. So that means that our previous auditors potentially did not actually verify this.
Yes, this had not been a previous request to DSS from other audit firms throughout the years.
Which will stand. We found that any other receivable accounts also don't seem to have any support. So it is... It just supports that the other auditors weren't asking for things that normally are asked in an audit.
Right, which doesn't, if I may, I mean, this is not my expertise, but it doesn't absolve departments from doing the work that they need to do, but it certainly, we hire auditors, and I thank you for asking the question, we hire auditors to our own external auditors to catch these things, and the fact that over the course of years and potentially multiple firms that these questions weren't asked is a problem, but it's a problem in terms of the check, not in terms of the actual work that needs to be done. I mean, it should. I appreciate, Commissioner, that you're bringing up that you're finding this in other places, because I would take this as a serious red flag that we need to be looking at all of this across all accounts and departments, but this is seriously bad news.
I was going to indicate you might want to look at your health department claims and mental health, because they're handled by the state in a similar fashion, whereby you file your claim, you get installment payments across the board, and you do have some large, you know, other programs. So you may want to just look at your other state aid receivable just to see if there's been... some kind of reconciliation.
And before I go to you, Vice Chair, the other question would be, when you put this as a write-off, am I to understand that after a certain period of time, there's no, you lose the ability to get it any further? Like, at this point, it's just, it's lost?
Again, not being an expert in the actual claiming of everything, I believe that there is a period of time where you can appeal. I would assume your department has appealed, and these might be the pieces left open, because I think the department just indicated maybe they didn't do the reconciliation and the write-off. I don't think they didn't chase the money. I mean, you'd have to check with them, but I would assume that if they had a large write-off or a disallowance, that they would have appealed that disallowance as a normal course of business.
Can we confirm that?
Yep.
And then if I may just ask one more question procedurally, the Chair. A write-off of this size, does this need legislative authorization, or once the commissioner provides us with the details, is that sufficient to make this adjustment?
I'm going to have to look into that. I mean, I'll have to look into that.
Some have bad debts and write-offs have to be approved, some counties don't.
I don't recall the language, because they've been writing it off regularly for prior years, sorry.
As they go ahead, they write it off, and it's just considered an adjustment. I don't know if this is different because it's on the books.
Yeah.
Okay.
Unsure.
We just want to make sure.
Whatever you guys need to do.
You'll get the answer.
Yeah, we just want to follow your procedures.
Yep, okay. Understood.
Vice Chair Criswell.
And again, do we have any sense of the date parameters for this?
They did not provide any, as far as I can tell, since they haven't done a rec, they didn't tell us what claims were open. So what we did.
Can we get that?
Well, Melissa is, she requested 18 months worth of claims so we can try to reconstruct a little bit. But again, that'll only be kind of superficial.
Yeah.
The county actually has to provide all the write-offs of the various revenues.
I'll just go to the department.
Perfect.
See what the time period is.
Thank you.
Ideally, we want to identify what the receivable balance truly is at year end, so we can identify how much is really going to be considered a prior period adjustment
versus current.
Yeah,
I'm raising my hand, but I recognize. I guess something that I'd like to understand as well, and I don't know if this is a question for you all or who it's for, is. It's a write off. It's an adjustment in the books, but not doing the recs. Like, what is the real cost to the county? If we had done the recs, would we have received more money?
No, it's the same result. It's just these would have been written off in a more timely fashion, allowing you planning and to know where your true fund balance was.
Yeah.
Again, if it turns out that these are all from prior to 22. It would be a prior period adjustment and just reduce your opening fund balance, which means you had less in the coffers than you thought you had. Mm-hmm. But any way you look at it, they would have written it off, whether it be current or now. So it's not like you lost physical cash because of this. You just didn't account for it properly.
So I'm getting this right, when we're going for a reimbursable, it's clear that in some contracts, we won't get 100%, right? We'll get up 80% or 89% or whatever it is. Do we have a general sense of what those numbers are so that when we're actually doing our expenses against the budgeted income, we have a sense of, okay, we're asking for $100,000, but we're only going to get 90, so we're really only going to expense 90,000 against that?
Yeah, social service programs, when you put your budget together and you look at a program, and again, I could say wrong, but I think it's Department 6109-8 for families. That's almost 98% funded now between the state and feds. Okay. 2% local share. Okay. When you get to admin cost, it's usually 75% reimbursed, 25% local share for some programs, somewhere as high as 80. So every program is slightly different, but when your budget department is putting the budget together, they historically know what the reimbursement rates are. That's why when you look at your social service program, backing out the MMIS, the Medicaid portion, it's probably about 80-85% reimbursed.
And as those numbers change, who stays up on the changes that happen?
The state notifies the Department of Social Services.
All right, thank you.
And they really don't change during the year. What it might be is every department does its best to maximize your reimbursement. Mm-hmm. So if you have an 80% program versus a 70% program, when you're doing your admin allocations, you know, obviously you're trying to do the best you can for your locale, and you might hit the cap in that.
Right.
So then they shift back to the lower reimbursable one.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Do you have more? Because we sort of stopped you in the middle.
Oh, sure, no problem. Sure, no problem. So with the general fund, a lot of the receivables they worked through to get us the schedules for, which was great. For the remaining funds, debt service, capital projects, special grants, county road and road machinery, we are at 95%, so they're in internal review right now. Then we have the workers' comp internal service fund. We did need the workers' comp payable calculation, but that was uploaded, I believe, today, so we'll go ahead and get that in our review. The custodial, we did receive support from the county in August, so we're also testing that as well. For fixed assets, I believe they were working on the fixed assets, and
it's uploaded,
so that's great. So we'll work through that. The long-term debt is 100% complete. Was you needed for the AUD, and then OPEB and GASB 68 is in our internal review, and then the GASB 87, which is the leases, that's the new standard. We still haven't received information yet. I believe you're working with the consultants on that as well.
Yep.
So. What's the expectation on the timeline for getting them that information?
The GASB 87 one?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have it yet. So we'll reach out to the consultant and find out.
Okay. And that's you in terms of the information you need an accounting of all of our leases.
Yeah, so it's a present value of the future payments of the lease, so how much you're going to pay over time. And then if you have a lease receivable, that would be reported in the fund. We would need the amortization schedule for that and the journal entries. A lease payable would be on the government-wide, so the county-wide financial statements. We'll also need the amortization schedules for that.
Can to Deputy Executive Kelly, uh-huh. And not to put you on the spot totally or to dig too deep into it, but you said we need to speak to the consultant. Is uh-huh. this not information that we...
This is a new rule that we haven't done in the past, so mm-hmm. we...
No. I get that it's a new rule, but do we mm-hmm. not have an accounting of all of our leases and the value of our leases and, like, at the ready?
Organized in a way that complies with GASB 87, we don't. So this is a new thing, and that's why we had to go to Bonadio to assist us with this one as well.
There could be multiple leases that the county would have. Generally, the lease revenue would go into a revenue account, so that's a little bit easier mm-hmm. to identify. Your payments, on the other hand, might be covering many different account codes, so it's really trying to identify, if you don't already have a lease schedule of what leases you have right now, then you would have to go through and see what regular recurring payments are you making. So it's a little bit more digging.
I guess what I'm saying is it's surprising to me that we don't have a lease schedule. Like, that's what I'm saying. It's not so much how things get reported, but I'm surprised that an organization this size wouldn't have a schedule that could quickly be pulled up and we'd know. Not in terms of the coding, and I may be using the wrong terms, but just that you could look and say, these are the 20, 50, 100, mm-hmm. 10, doesn't whatever it is. These are the leases we have, yeah, this is what we pay, and this is what we receive. Like, yeah,
not that it makes it right. We haven't seen a client yet that was ready.
I just feel like it's so... It's a good thing to come out of GASB 87 because it's a good thing to have at the ready. If we were a private company, we would have that at the ready, at the first request, without a doubt. So I know we're not a private company. So it's like that's a positive to come out of 87.
And not on the list. What about the ACFIR statistics?
Yeah, so there is, I just spoke with Commissioner's office today. As part of the financial statements, and I believe it was approved that we would assist with the preparation this year, there are some statistical sections in the back. The county does not file an official ACFIR, an annual comprehensive financial report, so the statistical section is like bonus information. It's not required to be filed. I'm not sure if this has been started or completed yet, so it's something that we'll need to talk about to see whose responsibility was to originally prepare this and kind of go through that. So it is something that we could omit this year and bring back for next year, but that would be a decision.
Some of it can be done by us because once we finish the financials, mm-hmm. that's the information that would flow to the current year. But other information that's in there is not part of your financial statement. So it's statistics on a number of fire hydrants, roads, whatever, you know, the previous commissioner determined were good. So we just have to, you know.
Can you report back to the committee through Clark Feaster in terms of, and that can come both from you, but also if the executive side of the house has the information to let us know, you know, where that normally got reported, et cetera, and what the status of that is.
Some planning and different...
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Let's just see if we can find out.
A lot of it is in your OS if you issued bonds this year.
Okay.
So a lot of it you can pull right from your official statement, and if you use capital markets, Rich might be able to help you.
We do.
You can
thank you for that lead.
No problem.
Deputy Comptroller DeMarco.
I just wanted to circle back on the lease analysis just so we don't duplicate work if it's of any value. We did compile the list of leases that the Comptroller's office was aware of in 2021 and put out a report in anticipation of GASB 87. Hasn't been updated to date, but we're happy to share it with the executive and the finance department so that at least you have a starting point. Again, it's from 2021. So it probably needs to be updated and reviewed, but we'll send that out.
That's great. Thank you. So we've touched on this a little. One of the issues that that came up was the timeline of the September 30th deadline. I see in your future timeline you have coming in right under the wire at September 29th. One of the concerns was really to understand our fund balance and be able to apply that accurately to our budgeting process. Mm-hmm. Obviously, today's information is going to affect that in a significant way. How confident are you with the timeline, with the being able to come in on time? And I appreciate that there's a that we're in a unique situation because of what's gone on in this county, and I also appreciate the work that finance is doing to get everything over in as timely a manner. I think we all know the extraordinary circumstances that we're under, so I appreciate all of you, but I just want to have a sense from you all what you're feeling in terms of meeting that deadline.
I think it's very, like I said earlier, it is very tight. If we do end up missing a milestone, I think it would most likely not happen. As you know, I'm sure the single audit is due on 9/30. So if we miss that, then it would just make the county require 40% coverage in next year's single audit instead of a 20% coverage for the major program testing. So we have the 825, the county to provide the items on the request that's attached. So a majority of the items was provided. So we do have just a handful left. 828, which was yesterday, to identify any additional major programs tested. So we're trying to finalize the CIFA now. So if the departments can get back quickly, then we could identify what additional programs need to be tested. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping not more than two more. Usually major programs take between 2 to 3 days to test. We have to pull samples and kind of go back and forth, so there's that. All of the information that was provided, we have to go through and complete auditing, have follow-up questions for the commissioner's office. So, and they've been very quick to respond, which has been great. So hopefully that will continue. And then our goal is to prepare the draft by 9/11, have it for our internal review, and then provide it to the county. The county then has to prepare the management discussion analysis, which is the first portion of the financial statements. So that's all dependent on how long that takes as well. And I don't believe we don't have like the Word file either of the MD&A. So I'm not sure if the commissioner's office would or somebody else would have that.
I would assume they do.
Yeah.
Because you prepared it.
So it is very tight. I'm not sure. We're trying our best to meet it, but if something, like if the DSS reconciliation takes longer than anticipated, we might have to run past that.
Yes.
We recently initiated an audit of our health benefit plan. We're a self-funded insurance plan like most counties, but we're not accounting for it correctly. I think it's just kind of carried in the general fund, and I think a lot of other counties have it in a separate fund. Have you guys had a chance to look at that, and are you going to have a chance to look at that at all? Have you been able to review it or make any recommendations?
So I think that might be part of that $8 million in the agency fund, maybe, that got moved to the general fund.
Yeah.
So that was part of the support that was provided recently that we have to go through.
Okay.
Generally, we wouldn't see something that large being moved to the general fund unless it's like a deposits payable. So it's really trying to understand the makeup of that and how it's...
But you're right. It's typically in an internal service fund, mm-hmm. where you record the lag accrual and you make sure you've accounted for all the potential exposure that you have based on the 90 days subsequent to your year end. Because I think most self-insured plans, even though it's not hard and fast, usually give you 90 days to get your claims in, and that's your lag. So, but usually it's an internal service one.
That was our feeling as well. We just wanted to make sure you were aware and
right.
on the radar.
And it really shouldn't have a fund balance.
Mm-hmm. So, again, we're talking about just under 2 weeks to a draft for your internal review.
Mm-hmm.
I'm stating it out loud to emphasize just how critical every timeline is, and that would be on responsiveness mm-hmm. from the finance side of the house, and also if you could be communicating with us.
Mm-hmm.
in the immediate if there's any, if you are hitting any stumbling block. I don't mean with finance, I mean with just what you see as your ability to meet these deadlines.
Okay.
You know, again, I know these are extraordinary circumstances, but there, you know, there are consequences to missing it. So, it's which we'll see in next year's audit. So it's the, as best we can, and I appreciate the work again on both sides of both sides, from our own finance and from you all.
I mean, obviously, from getting it done on time, everybody wants to get it done by September 30th.
Yeah.
If for some reason there's a stumbling block, if you're mainly looking for your fund balance to go into your budget process,
mm-hmm.
most of the stumbling block doesn't affect the funds.
Right.
So we could get you, you know, pretty solid
pretty
numbers mm-hmm. for you to start your budget process, so at least you're not going in blind.
That's huge and critical.
We'd like it, you know, complete, but again, if you're worried about the budget process because it's right on top of you, we could get you the fund financial statements, even though they haven't gone through QC yet. So that you at least know that what you're looking, you're planning on utilizing is available.
Thank you. Okay. That would be critical to our work.
Right.
So thank you.
So I mean, you know, if it takes a little longer to get the ACFR done or to get the leases in, those don't affect your fund balance because they're upfront adjustments, not
right.
fund adjustments. So
exactly.
We could get that to you, so you have at least a tool to use.
Thank you. Thank you.
But this would be a fund adjustment.
Yes.
Yes.
So we need to get this.
And the other and any other receivable
okay.
from the state and federal
mm-hmm.
of magnitude.
So if we keep that a priority as well. Are there any other questions?
Yes. The other question is about the Hennepin County decision and if anybody's like considering that and how we're gonna deal with the accounting for that or if it's too early to make a determination on that. Are you guys aware of the Hennepin County decision? It has to do with how we handle our foreclosures,
mm-hmm.
and I think might present a potential liability for us in terms of returning equities. There was basically a Supreme Court decision that determined that we have to return surpluses to individuals whose houses we foreclose on, but there's been a lot of discussion that that's going to be retroactively applied.
Yeah, we haven't heard that at GFOA. They talked about it. But they didn't indicate whether or not a decision on the retroactivity of it was going to be.
Right.
So,
right. Yeah.
I mean, if you were going to record any potential liability, again, that would be up front.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You'd have to look at your property sales. I mean, I think they gave a timeline. I don't think it's all the way back forever.
Okay, I haven't gotten anybody to give me a timeline.
Yeah, I don't think
I don't think
I did a 5-year look back. I'm just trying to ballpark what that impact would be on our fund balance.
I mean, you go back past 5 or 7 years, it's going to be really tough to,
mm-hmm. yeah.
you know, to figure out what your surplus was, and then you got to. Well, you'd also, I think, they're going to give you the opportunity to allocate your overhead to that too, because you know, it's not just purely the tax minus what you sold it for. I think the ruling also says you can apply your costs, which have never
mm-hmm.
been done in the past. They had just been absorbed by usually the finance department or real property tax mm-hmm. department.
So. I think there's tremendous unknown. I mean, not only, you know, has there not been clear guidance, and just in terms of thinking, I appreciate your question and your concern as it relates to fund balance, particularly if it's retroactive, but in the forward-looking budgeting perspective, I don't even know how we begin to deal with it, because it's not really clear on how we handle clearing the liabilities, which would be very costly. So that would be a budgeting expense in addition. And I get that we could write off the expense, but I don't even know how you'd.
And I know the state legislature is looking at how they're going to change state law for how the counties are all going to process and run foreclosure. So I don't know if they signed the moratorium or not, but they did pass something. I don't know if the governor signed it. So I think it's going to be taken up in next. It has to be taken up in next legislative session.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, I think, again, you could talk to Capital Markets, which I believe as a claimer judgment, what you could do is bond it, even though you hate the bond. But this way you don't affect your tax levy.
Yeah.
And you can pay it off over time. So you can, you'd have the bonding revenue liability and then pay it off over time. So you're one taxpayer. Today's taxpayer didn't bear the entire brunt
of the back charge.
So,
yep.
So I believe as a claimer judgment, you could bond it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you can do a claimer judgment for 10 years. I don't think you can do it for 30.
Vice Chair Criswell.
So if that decision is going to come for some time, is that something that we do try to anticipate in this budget, or do we just wait until next budget?
We don't know. And that's going to be a question in finance and in the budget process, I think. Okay. Are there any further questions for today? Okay. We have O'Connor, PFK O'Connor Davies, on contract for this year. I would like to entertain a motion to extend the contract for 1 year. This would go before the legislature, but it would need approval of this committee to move to the legislature. We do have two additional one-year extensions in the contract, but again, we would need to vote on extending that contract, and it's timely to do it now.
I just want to say that I think the advantage to it is that we're in a big year of transition, and so to get through this year of transition and then to get through a year that's a little bit more stabilized, I think it would make a lot of sense to stay with the stable company. So
I'll just say I strongly support extending the contract, so that's a motion from Legislator Guevaras to extend the contract for 1 year.
I'll second that.
All discussion? All in favor of extending the contract? Aye. Opposed? None. Okay, so that passes unanimously, and that'll go to the legislature next month. Next month. Thank you all very much. Thank you for being here, and thank you for waiting through the delay, and same for all of you in finance. Thank you for waiting through the delay.
Thank you for the time.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Motion to adjourn. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
4:57.
That's good.